Okay, so let's make a chanash of Pesach a little bit. So what I want to do is like this. I want to take a certain nekuda of the Seder, and we'll zone in on it a little bit in halacha, and then from there, Bez Hashem, we'll move into the pnimius of it. And it always comes out like this. The nature of pnimius is that every piece of something is the totality of the thing itself. So anytime you look at a particular sugya, in halacha, there could be such a thing as just a piece of a sugya. But in pnimius, every piece is the entirety of the thing. So by focusing on any little piece of Pesach, so to speak, once we have the neshama of it, then you have the entirety of Pesach. So that's what we're going to try to do. We'll take a piece from the Seder, get to the neshama of it a little bit, and from there we'll see all of Pesach, Bez Hashem. Okay, so what we're going to learn tonight, the nekuda that we'll focus on is probably one of the more overlooked parts of the storm, which is Karpas. So it's like this. We know that in the Manish Tana, right? One of the questions is Laila Zeh Shtei Pam, that usually we're Matvil Shtei Pam, and we dip twice. So that's a reference to the two dippings. That's a reference to Achilas Karpas and Achilas Mar. What do we dip Mar into? So that's from the Gemara already. The Gemara tells us that we dip Mar into Charoises. That's Mikar Din. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that the Indian of Charoises in terms of Marar is for different reasons. It's already a Mishnah. There's Machlekes in the Mishnah. But one reason for Marar into Charoises, as we know, is because of some sort of, poison, whatever, aras, some sort of unhealthy quality that Marar might have to soften it. There's halach that you have to dip into Charoises because of that. That's one aspect. The Gemara gives another reason, or Lazar Rab Tzadik in the Mishnah, tells us that also Charoises, besides having a medicinal quality to sort of temper the intensity of the Mar, it also is a Kiyam Mitzarat, it's a mitzvah. Zecher Latit, or Zecher Latapuach, the fact that the Jewish people were able to, the bitterness, that's why it's connected to Mar, right? The bitterness of the slavery. The bitterness of the Golis was in two aspects. There's the bitterness of the slavery itself, and so that's why the Charoses is then a Zech Latit. And then there's the Kol Ben Hayilad Hayor Tashlichu, the effort on the Mitzrayim to curtail the pure viribia of the Jewish people. So that was Vaiter part of the Meriris of Golis. So then Venahapichu, so we had Adarabba Kasher. Yano Oisam Kain Yifrites, and that's related to the puach, the apple trees that the Jewish people would have children by, and so on. And so that's Zecher Tapuach. So either way, so we definitely have, so that's a Gemara Mishnah and a Gemara Mefuresh, that Mar has to be dipped into Charoises, and it's Mikradin. So obviously, if a person eats Mar without Charoises, then he recommends his Mar. But there's a Chasarin in your Kiyam HaMitzvah, because your Taka is supposed to eat it with Charoises, to be titled with Charoises. And when it comes to Karpas, Karpas is also described as one of the Shtei Matbilim, things that you dip. But we don't find in Chazal, openly, that's for sure not, what you're supposed to dip Karpas into. And if you have to dip Karpas into something, just happens to be, that's the way they ate vegetables, is they would dip it into things. Mar is unique that you had to dip it into Charoises. But that's really what we're going to be discussing right now, is the inyan of not just karpas, but the dipping of the karpas into something. Salt water, other things that people do. Vinegar. All right, so, but again, just a little bit of a hakdama. Why do we have karpas b'chlal? So that the Gemara tells us, that we know, that the inyan of achilas karpas, or whatever the inyan of karpas is k'dei sheyish latinoikis, is in order that the kid should ask. It should be, thrown off. Thrown off by the fact that there's karpas. We'll see soon exactly what the aspect of it is, but it's k'dei sheyish as a tinoikis. Okay, so with that background, let's see some of the marmukim. So marmukim number one is it's a Mishnah Maseches Pesachim. So the Mishnah is a little bit cryptic, so we'll try to explain it. So again, this is in Pesachim Kuf Yadal V'Nalf. This is the Mishnah talking about the Seder, the process of the Seder. So it says like this, this is after Kaddish and Urchatz, so now you're up to karpas. So it says in the Mishnah, Heviu lefanav hashulchan imakarpas. Now you're at a point of where the table is brought, so to speak, the plate is brought with the next item, which is karpas. Metabel b'chazeres, and you then take the chazeres, the vegetable, which is karpas, and you dip it. In other words, dip it and to eat it. So that's what the Mishnah says, that karpas is eaten with some sort of dipping. So comes the marmokim. The marmokim number two is the Rashbam. So there's a big machlokes rishayna. We're going to see that the question then is what to dip the karpas into. Like I mentioned before, mara we know, and we have reasons why mara is dipped into charezes. But karpas, what we have for sure is that it's dipped into something. That's what the Mishnah says. But what is it dipped into? That's a big machlokes rishayna. So the first camp of rishayna, which is how I imagine most Yidden do. Although when it comes to the Seder night, it's hard to, you know, you're used to your own Seder, so you don't really know what anyone else is doing. So whatever anyone else does that's not you is like shocking, you know. But I imagine that most people dip karpas into salt water, maybe some people vinegar, but that's pretty much it. So that's the one camp of Rishayim. So Marmokan number two is the Rashbam. The Rashbam says like this, Hai Tibul, this dipping of karpas that the Mishnah references, Lav b'charesisu, says the Rashbam, it's not in charesis. Why? So Rashbam proves it. Because later on in the Mishnah, where it talks about the vayter in the Seder, when you're up to Maror, so then it says, fun of matzah, so when you're up to Maitzi Matzah and Maror, then the Mishnah says, we bring before the person, and it spells out all the things that you need, matzah, Maror, and Charoises. The indication being that Charoises is not on the table yet. And still it talked about karpas being dipped. So clearly it says Rashbam, it's not dipped into Charoises. What is it dipped into? Whatever you want to dip it into, it's not for me. It doesn't make a difference. It went to water, whatever it is. So the minute it became salt water, zecher to the tears, whatever it is. But it's not. There's no technical din, says the Rashbam, of what you have to dip it into. You just dip it. Marmok number three, Taisus. Taisus says the same thing. Taisus gives other reasons or other proofs for the same nekuda as well. Taisus says hecha shatibul rishon havi b'shar yirakas. Taisus is talking about the situation of where a person only has maror. He doesn't have any other vegetable. So then we know that Gemara tells us already that if a person only has maror, then you could use maror for karpas too. Now Taisus, between the lines, is telling you if you're using the ingredient of maror for karpas, then you have to dip it into charoises to balance the intensity, because it's dangerous. It's not healthy otherwise. But it says Taisus, Hechashat tibul rishon, if karpas, the person is eating, avi b'shar yirakas, you're using other vegetables, not maror, so ain't tzarach lipul b'charesis, then you don't have to dip it into charesis then. Eloi b'chaymetz, you could use vinegar, oi b'mayim u'melach, or salt water, k'may shalei negar b'netam, and he gives us maror b'chaymetz b'netam, that was his minig as well, and that's what we do. Says Taisus, and how do I know this? Da'am b'gemara, because, again, from a different angle from the Rashbam, but the same basic maskana, da'am b'gemara, because the Gemara says, why do you have charesis by mar? The charesis mishum kapra, because charesis is because of the intensity of the mar that you have to soften. But like a kapra, a bit mar, and that's only relevant to mar. It's not negeah to a piece of potato or parsley. So b'chalal, so that side of charesis is just unnecessary. The kol shkein the reblazav rab tzaddik, and then certainly, according to the opinion of the Mishnah, reblazav rab tzaddik, that charoises has a mitzvah by itself, the kamer mitzvah, zech letit, right, or zech letapuach, that's vayter, d'lo shaykh al b'mar, then vayter, that mitzvah of charoises is also only shaykh to marah, zech letavayimaru eschayim b'chaymer, because again, you're eating marah, which is the bitterness of galus, so in the context of galus, now you want to mention the tit, or you want to reference the tapuach, to show how their efforts of causing us bitterness with kolah ben ha'yil aret ha'shlichu didn't work. But it's a mar dekeinian, so that's the only reason to dip mar into charoises. V'oid, and he gets another point. The leishayach mitzvah, the whole idea of there being a mitzvah to dip karpas is not shayach. Shetibul rishon einu el hakera. The whole inyan of eating karpas is just to get the kids curious about what's going on. So who cares? You don't dip it. Whatever. It doesn't make a difference. The idea is that you're eating karpas. So you eat karpas. You made yourself. You did something unusual. So that's all you need to do. And he goes on with the like of Rav Yosef, not like this one of the Rishonim, like Rav Yosef. Sha'asav esidra, that in his siddur, the seder that he organized, and he writes over there, this Rav Yosef, v'yidvul b'charoises. He says that karpa should be dipped into charoises, says Taisus, and again the Rashbam. It's not true, it's unnecessary. V'chein Rabbeinu Shlomo, b'sidurai, v'Rav Shmaya, v'aiter, other Rishonim as well, that they write in their siddur to dip karpas into charoises. But again, Taisus is saying it's unnecessary. There's no reason for such a thing. So until now you have the Rashbam and Taisus again, both proving that there's no reason to dip karpas into charoises. Mela, you don't have to. But more than that, Maramok number four, the Rosh takes it a step weiter. The Rosh says, not only do you not have to dip into Charesis, you should not dip into Charesis. Says the Rosh, V'chein ha'yinag Rabbeinu Tam. Again, this Rabbeinu Tam that Taisus quoted, the minig of Rabbeinu Tam was, Shelo yoy metabel tibarishim b'charesis. He would not dip karpas into Charesis. Why? Again, to Kaimalon, Karabelazar, Rab Tzadik. First he says that angle of Taisus, because we hold, like Rab Lazar, Rab Tzadik, the Omer Charesis mitzvah, Meshum Zech LeTapuach, Oy Zech LeTet. We hold that Charesis by Mar is a mitzvah, a kiyum of a Zecher, again, Zech LeTet, or Zech LeTapuach, because of Vayimaru as Chayehem. And now says the Rosh, therefore, not only is it not necessary by Karpas, Im Kain, B'shas Tibul Mar, Shehu Tibul Shal Mitzvah, Roy Litvel by V'loy Rishani. Therefore, it's only appropriate to use Charesis when it's by maror and not by karpas, to la'achar shemolei kresim menu yivenu l'mitzvah, because whenever you're dealing with a mitzvah, you want to, the first time you taste it, you want it to be noticeable for a mitzvah. It's like the Gemara says by matzah, right? You're not supposed to eat matzah before Pesach night, you know, within a certain period of time, because you don't want it to, you want it to be fresh, you want it to be exciting, whatever it is. So if charesis is just to counteract the poison or the intensity of mar. So then, like we saw from Taisvis, so it's unnecessary by Karpas, but I'm not going to say it's usser. But says the Rosh, but if there's an in of like a mitzvah to eat Charesis by Mar, then you should save Charesis for the mitzvah, not to have it early. So Charesis should be taka, not just unnecessary by Karpas, it should be usser by Karpas. And so that's the sheet of the Rashbam, Taisvis, the Rosh, and so on. Again, different Madregas, either it's unnecessary or you're not allowed, but Karpas is not... is not shaykh with charesis. That's all that shita.
Let's assume the Baal charesis shita assumes that you're not the tablet in salt water or in chaymetz.
So that's, well, the like we started in the beginning and chanami that the Gemara doesn't tell us, the Mishnah doesn't tell us what you dip the karpas into. That's what we're trying to figure out. So all these rishonim are of the opinion that you dip it into something else, whatever, water, salt water, vinegar, whatever it is, not charesis. No, it's not Shani, on the other side, Tosis already did bring down some Rishonim that do say to dip Karpas into Charesis, right? He quoted from Rav Yosef, from Rabbeinu Shloima, which could be, we'll see soon, it's Rashi, and Rabbeinu Shemaya, these other Rishonim that say to dip it into Charesis, and there's other Rishonim also. Take a look at Maramok number 5, the Rambam in Hilchas Chametz and Matzah, again, Perches, Halacha Beis, talking about Karpas over here. The Rambam says, Maschil, Umavarech bar priadama. You make a bracha bar priadama. Velakech yarek umetabeloisa becharosis. He says before you have to dip it into charosis. So the Rambam is again not like these other rishonim, and he holds fakir that you have to dip karpas into charosis. Maramok number 6, that guy's maimini over there on the Rambam also says v'chein hayinayg maram, which is already Rami Rundberg, that's a very stark opinion. Laz is gam tibul zeba charesis to make this dipping of karpas into charesis. V'chem etzasi shekasev Rashi b'sefer pardes, and this is quoted the opinion of Rashi as well in sefer pardes. Gam b'chuvas hagoyinim etzasi, chuvas hagoyinim is like that too. Okay, so now we're already introduced to a whole other category of rishonim that disagree and say not only are you allowed to dip it in karpas into charesis? It has to be dipped into charesis. So Rambam, Rashi, Chivas Hagoyinim, Maram, slew of Rishonim. So what's Pshat? Where is this coming from? L'chayra, again, initially, Taisvis, the Rosh, they made a very straightforward argument. Why in the world would you need charesis for karpas? It's, again, the poison factor is irrelevant for potatoes and parsley. The inyan of zecher letit, zecher letapuach, is only shaykh tamar of vaymaris chayim, talking about the galus. So like, why b'chlal do you need that? So where is the Rambam and these other Rishonim coming from? Okay, so one pshat could be is that the fundamental issue over here is going back to why do we eat karpas to begin with? Now I said from the beginning that the inyan of karpas, the Gemara says, is k'dei sheyishul yishul atinok, so the kids should ask. But the question is, but to break it down, to get more tzumzach, what aspect of karpas are the kids surprised by? What aspect of it is it that they're surprised by? So this is we find a machlokes rishonim. If you take a look at Marmokan number 7, so on that idea of karpas being eaten bechlal in order for the kids to ask, so the Rashbam, again, on the Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim, explains what exactly is the nekuda that the kids find so puzzling about karpas. So it says like this, v'tibul rishon zeh, this dipping, this achila of karpas, is kedei sheyakir hatinek, is that the kid should, you know, pay attention, v'yishol, and he should ask. Says the Rashbam, and what is the kid shocked by? Says Rashbam, the shocking part is the fact that you're eating potatoes, you're eating a parsley, you're eating yerek before the meal. That's the shock value. That's the shock value. Take a look at Marmokah number 8. Is the same thing also from Tosfos Rit. Say it again.
It's not clear from the Rashbam. Is it the dipping that's the weird part, or is it the eating it?
Well, the language of the Mishnah, whenever it talks about karpas, it always talks about the tibul, but the Rashbam specifically veered off of that. He said, so the indication being is that the issue is not so much the dipping, and it happens to be the way that people ate then, is that if you ate a vegetable, you dipped it into something. That was just the way people did it. But the ikra nekuda is just the fact that you're eating something before the meal. That's the strange factor of it. Marmukah number 8, Tosfos Rit, also in his commentary to the Haggadah. So again, on the Manashtana that we say halayla zeh shtei pamim, right? Why is that? We're matbilim shtei pamim, tibul rishon v'tibul sheni, right? The first and second dipping. V'tibul rishon says the Rashba, says the Tosfos Rit again, the first one which is karpas, ein chayv. It's not like a mitzvah from the Torah or whatever. El kadesh shiish latinaikis v'yom run again the same thing. What are they going to say? That v'kol laila anu echlim yirokis b'tay chasuda v'achshav we're eating yirokis lufnei hasuda. Right? So again, the same basic idea that the issue is not the hecker, the strange thing that karpas is trying to bring out is b'chol, the fact that it's eaten in such a way. Maramukah number 9, also the Shibboleth Halakhet, b'chol laila anu oichlim yirokis b'toich hasuda v'achshav lufnei hasuda. So all these Rishonim, again, when they're teaching the Manashtana or the Rashbam on the Mishnah, the focus is, yes, it's dipped, but that's not the point. The point is that you're eating vegetables before the meal. Now, if that's the nekuda, then certainly, so why do we b'chlal dip? Okay, because that's the way they used to eat. Well, then certainly the dipping is not like an inyan. And if the dipping is not an inyan, then certainly the Rashbam, Tosfos, the Rosh, makes total sense. Why would we dip into charoses of all things? The whole thing of dipping is unnecessary. What's the eating of karpas? Eating vegetables. So it happens to be the way they ate vegetables was by dipping. So that's how it became a zach. It became a thing that we call the nusach is matbilim shteipam. But it's never about dipping to bechlal. You know, Marshall, these Rishonim would say if a person doesn't have water, doesn't have vinegar, so it's not kedai to eat karpas. Of course it's kedai to eat karpas. The point is the eating of the vegetable. So if that's the point, then why would we even have a dream of forcing a person to dip it into charoses of all things? The whole thing of dipping is. But the truth is, there are other Rishonim that learn not like that. If you take a look at Marmukim number 10, so the Ravon in his Pirish on Haggadah, he learns not like that. The Ravon says, again on the Manashtana, Einon amatvila filu pamachas, right? Kishanu oichlem yerek. The way the Ravon teaches is that the focus is as follows. Kishanu oichlem yerek. The question of the child is as follows: that when we eat vegetables, einon amatvila moisei becharoses. In other words, the Ravon is now introducing us to a whole different way of thinking about what the whole hisoiris of karpas is. Says the Ravon, the hisoiris, the question that the child is picking up on with karpas is not the fact that you're eating a vegetable before the meal. Okay, people have appetizers. Nishka Ferlach. The shocking thing of it is that what are you doing dipping? What's the sin of dipping? What do you mean, what's the sin of dipping? We always, the derech was to dip. The answer is, says the Ravon, no, it means that you're dipping into something strange, something that we don't usually see. That ain't on a matmil fil pamachas usually into this new item. But halayla zeh shtei pamim. In other words, so according to the Ravon, the ikar heker of karpas is the fact that it's being dipped, and it's being dipped specifically into something which is unusual. What is this new secret ingredient that we've never heard of before that the kids are shocked by? Well, the only item of dipping in the Seder night that we can at least have a reference to, that we can, you know, gauge ourselves from, is charoses. Therefore, in the way of the Ravon, of course it's Pashat that you dip karpas into charesis. That's the ikar hekar. That's what makes karpas so strange to the children, is the fact, not that you're eating karpas, is the fact that you're dipping it into this strange concoction that we've never, that we don't usually ever have. That's the whole hekar of karpas. So we have this machlokes rishonim anyway. What is the hekar of karpas? Is the hekar of karpas just the fact that you're eating vegetables? Okay, that's... Or is it the fact that it's being dipped into something that it's unusual? Well, no, if we have that machlokes anyway, then it's probably easy just to plug it into the machlokes rishonim that we had before. So all the rishonim, the Rashbam, and Tosfos, and the Rosh, that say that you don't have to dip karpas into charesis, or you shouldn't dip karpas into charesis. So it's obvious. Obviously, they're holding that the heker of karpas is not the fact that it's dipped into charesis, as it goes without saying. What's the heker of karpas? The fact is, behold, you're eating a vegetable right now. And therefore, say the Rashbam, Tosfos, and the Rosh, if the heker is just that you eat a vegetable, happens to be you usually dip, okay, we dip things, you have a vegetable, you dip it into something, but of all things to dip it into charesis, why would you do that? It's unnecessary, and leave it for the mitzvah, leave it for the mar. That's that camp. Whereas the Rambam, Rashi, Chuvas HaGaonim, and so on, they would go like the Ravon, which is, no, the whole inyan of karpas is, not that you're eating a vegetable, the whole inyan of karpas is that you're dipping into something strange. And what's this strange item that is sort of being never spelled out? Well, the only strange dip that the Seder has is Charesis. So that's, and that's exactly what if the Nusach of the Manishtana is trying to bring out the question of like, why are you dipping into such a strange thing? Then the Nusach of the Manishtana that says, Bahaila zeh shtei pamim, is telling you mefurish that the kids are asking, why are you dipping twice into Charesis? And that's exactly the question. Well, if that's the taich of the Manishtana, then of course the Rambam is going to say you have to dip into charesis, and of course that's the simple shot. Okay, so that's what it boils down. That's the Mishnah. That's the lashon of the Manishtana. I guess maybe his Chazal just saw that doing it once is not going to be such a error, or you want the accurate to be before the Magid. Well, there's different ways. But that's what you see from the, again, if the Nusach of Manishtan, whatever the question that the kids are asking, like that's going to tell you what you just did. You know what I mean? So if the question is, why are you eating potatoes? Then all you see is that you just have to eat potatoes. If the question was, why did you just dip potatoes into something strange that tonight you're doing twice and the average night you never use, then clearly the what you just did was dip it into charesis. So that's what comes down. That's pretty simple. The problem is in Rashi. If you remember, Rashi was quoted, amongst the Rishonim that went in the camp of the Rambam and Shuas HaGoyim. The Rashi is of the opinion that you dip karpas into charesis, which the way we're understanding is, where is he coming from? Well, he's coming because it must be that that's the heker. And that's the noticeable thing that's getting the kids to ask. It's not that you're eating potatoes, is that you're dipping it into this strange dip that you're using twice tonight for some reason. And so that's the issue. The problem is that Rashi himself learns not like that. If you take a look at Maramukim number 11, so the Siddur of Rashi. The Siddur of Rashi itself says Mefurish, what the Rishonim quote from Rashi, which is that karpas has to be dipped into charesis. But yet, when the Siddur of Rashi itself explains what the shocking, what's the shock value of karpas, he says as follows: Kadeshi yitamu hatinaikis, that the kids should be shocked. V'yishtoimu al achilas yirokis kaidem suda. So Rashi is saying that what's the inyan of karpas? When the question is, what the kids are shocked by, and what we want them to be shocked by, is the fact that you're b'chol eating vegetables before. But one second. Well, in that case, then that's the main thing. The main thing is to eat parsley. The main thing is to eat the potatoes. Happens to be that's what they dipped. So all of a sudden, of all things, if you're going to dip, don't do it into charesis. You certainly don't have to dip it into charesis. The issue is not about dipping b'chol; it's about eating the vegetable. So Rashi lishitas is again. So Rashi is again of the opinion, like the Rishonim that say that the ikar heker of karpas is just the eating of a vegetable, and the fact that it's being dipped into something, that's an afterthought. Who cares about that? That's irrelevant. Yet the same Rashi says, but you got to make sure to dip it into charesis. Enough, give me that. If the hecker was the fact that it's being dipped into a strange concoction, which tonight we're doing twice for some reason, okay, then that means that the hecker is dipping into charesis. But that's not the hecker according to Rashi. So then back to square one. If according to Rashi, the issue is, the Chazal's takana, in order to get the kids to ask, was simply eat something that they don't usually eat, which is a vegetable itself, then mehecha tesi to go any further than that. Okay. Take a look at Marbuk number 12. So this is an Orchis Chaim. The Orchis Chaim in his commentary to the Haggadah says, like mamish, a shtickle shocking thing. The Orchis Chaim was one of the Rishonim from Lunil. So the Orchis Chaim, he's up to Karpas, and he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, so he asks the question, like, why do you eat Karpas? Why do you eat Karpas? So he quotes the Gemara, the Kadesh Yish Latinai, because we're doing something in order to get the kids to ask. And then he like says his own reason, which is Mamash Apella. And he says, V'yesh neistin tam acher. And there's others that give another explanation to eating of karpas. Kilo, what do you mean? The Gemara says, just, we do get to get the kids to ask. V'yesh neistin tam acher. That what? Al shem shtei hazoyah she'asu. That we want there to be a zecher in Seder night to the two dippings that the Jewish people did by Pesach night, right? We know that achas al mashkeif u'shtayim al shtayim mezuzos. So we know that by, you know, to get the dam on the doorpost. So the lach is, the Gemara says, that ein hazah, ein mazin elen kein tovlin, that in order to do a hazah by kodshim, let's say a kohen is being zerk dam on his mizbech with his finger. So every zrika needs a tefillah. Every zrika needs a tefillah. There's a famous maisa. The Rishonim bring down this maisa. That, you know, the story with the four captives. You know blank faces. You know what I'm talking about, the four. No, not at all. Okay, I don't want to get too sidetracked over here. But there was a maisa, a legendary maisa of four gaonim, very very late gaonim, that were traveling from Bavel, from Eretz Yisrael. It's the question of where and so on. And they got captured. They were their boat was hijacked by pirates. And these four tzaddikim were ransomed off to different Jewish communities throughout the Middle East and even a little bit in Europe. And these four tzaddikim, the city that they found themselves in, they started yeshivas. And that's where really the tekufa of the Rishonim began, because before the Rishonim, Torah was centralized in Bavel. And so you needed chachamim from Bavel to be spread out. So this was an amazing hashkacha about getting some major tzaddikim from Bavel, you know, out of that area to start their own yeshivas. So there's a maisa it's a legend. So I don't know if it's hard to know if it's 100% true. But the legend goes that one of these four captives, I don't remember the name of which one it was, but one of the, we're talking about people like, you know, like the Rebbe of the Rif was one of them. Like, we're talking, you know, big people. So one of them found himself in a certain town, and he's not, what is he going to get? He's going to go say, I'm the Rosh Kabahag. He goes, sits in the base medrash in the back. And meanwhile, there's someone giving a shir between Mincha and Ma'ariv. And the person is learning a Mishnah with them in Yuma. And the Mishnah says, Akol Hazah Tefillah. That every Hazah, you have to do a Tefillah first. So someone pipes up with a question, if that's true, then I thought the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur only goes to the mikveh five times. If every hazah, he has to be toivel, that's a lot more mikvehs than just five. And so that was the question that someone, the one of the Baal Batim in the shir asked. So the person giving the shir, I guess the Rav, the Rosh Hashiva at the time, didn't have an answer. And he's like, he's trying to follow the back and forth. I don't know, it's machloek. So this, you know, Gain from Bavel raises and he says, that's not the pshat. When it says "akol hazot tefillah," this means to tovel your guf. It means the finger that you're spritching. Every hazah, you have to be tovel the finger again each time. So they were so impressed by that answer, they realized that, like, okay, you know, they gave him over the shtel. He's now the reshiva, and from there the yeshiva flourished and the tekufas were shining. So anyway, that's why, you know, I think the Brisk Rav used to say, from here you see that, like, not everyone during the times of the reshining was a rishon. You know, if you found the ksav yad that said from someone from that time that learned the Gemara, kol hazot tefillah, you have to go to the mikveh, so now we'll be mafalpa, was a mina, as a shver taisvah, you know, the guy, he was an amar, it's okay, he just didn't know, you know, so it's not, you know, there's rishonim, the way he said it was like, you could have, like achronim living in the times of rishonim, you know what I'm saying, it doesn't, not everyone in that time was a rishon, okay, But anyway, so going back, so we know the halach is akol azat tefillah. So the Archas Chaim is saying a chiddush is that that halacha was also true when it came to the hazah on the doorpost of the houses of the Jewish people, and the hazah of the two mezuzahs, that's considered to be one hazah, and the mashkef was another hazah. So altogether, you need two tefillas. You don't have to be toivel the ezai, the shtei salas, and so on that they use to be mazah. You have to toivel it in the dam one time for the shtei mezuzahs and one time for the mashkef. So says the Archas Chaim, going back, so says the Archas Chaim, v'yesh noisim tam, there are those people that give a reason for achilas karpa, says why, al shem, shtei hazoyish asu, because we want to give a remez for the two hazoyis, achas al mashkef, ushtaim al shtei mezuzahs. So memela, you have karpas, the matvilon shtei pom, what's matvilon shtei, why? Taka, in order to have a remez, to the two hazoyas, v'yesharim keneged dam bris, or dam pesach, or another way to be maram is it, is one keneged the dam bris, and one keneged the dam pesach, that's the Archas Chaim. It's Mamash Pella, what are you giving a reason for karpas? The Gemara says, you eat karpas in order for the kids to dance. Well, what's going on over here? So the answer is this pashut. Of course, the reason why we eat karpas, the reason what motivated Chazal is in order to get the kids to ask. But Chazal don't want there to be something in the Seder that is not that's just irrelevant to everything and just like a standalone moment to do something strange to get the kids. Because that's the motivation. So, but Chazal could have done a lot of things. So Chazal could have said, let the balabas stand on his head for a minute. Let him start making animal sounds, whatever. So why did Chazal choose this? The answer is because there's something about Chazal, the motivation was Kadesh Yushla Tinoikis. But we want this inyan, whatever it is that we're using, that the kids should ask, it should be seder. It should be part of the Sipur Yitzhias Mitzrayim as well. It shouldn't be a break in the seder. In other words, in order to get the kids to ask, right, is that a break in Sipur Yitzhias Mitzrayim? Or is that just like, okay, kids are falling asleep, so I gotta do something? No. So if all it is, says the Archas Chaim, is just getting the kids to ask, and instead of karpas, it could have been animal noises, that's not part of Sipur Yitzhias Mitzrayim, that's tam, an inyan to keep the kids awake. Chazal don't want that. Chazal want even the nekud of keeping the kids awake, it should be part of Sipur Yitzhias Mitzrayim too. And so this is what the Archas Chaim is saying, is that of course the motivation is Kadesh Yishlu Hatinakis. But once Chazal are establishing that, then they're only going to do it in a way where it could be part of the storyline. So says the Archas Chaim, Mimela, that's why they choose this way, because at least we could touch it up in the Sipur Yitzhias Mitzrayim, that it's in context. It's a remez to the Shtei Hazayis.
Why wouldn't you say Ashtei Tvilos?
Sorry?
Why wouldn't you say Ashtei Tvilos?
Al Shtei Tefillos, that's what he means. That's not what he means. Other Rishonim, when they say this also, yeah.
That's not what they're doing.
That's not what? It's not Hazal. Yeah, that's what I mean. I was talking about Akol Hazal Tefillah. The Stama, that's what he means, that every Hazal contains a Tefillah. So, that in other words, we're trying to be Maramis is the Hazal, but Chazal didn't make us, you know, throw things at people, so this is the way to do it, yeah. This is the answer to the kid, right? That could be the answer to it. That's why we're doing it, right? But that's what's interesting. The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara doesn't say that there's intervening karpas for this reason. It's the motivation is for the kid. It's just that we want to have it to be part of the Seder. So let's go back. So we had a question. Why would all these Rishonim say that you have to dip karpas into charesis? What's the, like the Rashbam, like Taisvis, like the Rush said, what Shaykh is Karpas? The thing is, you just want to eat a vegetable in order for the kids to ask. I understand, in those days, when you ate a vegetable, you dipped it into something. But dip it into ketchup, what's an afkamina? And of all things, Karpa, Charesis, save it for Mara when it's the Iker time for Charesis. So we thought maybe the answer is that these Rishonim hold, that the whole Heker, what's getting the kids to ask is the fact that you're dipping into Charesis. But that's not true. Rashi says Mefarsh not like that. That the reason why they're motivated to ask, the shocking thing of Karpas, is the fact that you're eating a vegetable. So, but then the same Rashi says, but you better make sure to dip into Charesis. The answer is based on Archas Chaim. Of course the motivation is the fact that you're eating parsley. Of course that's the motivation. But once Chazal are telling you to get the kids awake by eating parsley, then we got to figure out a way to make parsley part of the Seder. How do you get parsley to be part of the Seder? So, if we dip parsley into charesis, now we have two dippings into charesis. Two dippings into charesis is a remez to the two azoyes, or dam pesach, dam milah. Now we have a story. So again, the motivation was not for the dipping. The motivation is get karpas, eat parsley, eat a potato, and the kids are going to be shocked by that. They're not necessarily picking up on what you're dipping it into. The main thing that they're noticing is the fact that you're eating something. But that's not good enough for us, that we don't want to interrupt the Seder with just something strange to get their attention. Whatever we're doing, which is that's our motivation, but once we're doing that strange activity, it has to be part of the context of the Seder. And so this is where the Rosh Hashanah are coming from, is that they're not satisfied with it just being a standalone experience of getting the kids to notice something. That's the reason why we're doing it, but it has to be understood as part of the context of the Seder. Therefore, Rashi agrees, and we could say it for the Rambam also, they all agree that the main motivation of karpas is the fact that it's being eaten b'chalal. But once it's being eaten, you gotta get a context. You gotta make it part of the storyline. It can't just be an interruption in the Seder like that. So how do we make it part of the storyline? So if you're dipping it into Charoses, that alone we wouldn't make karpas for. There's enough in Yonim in the Seder to have a zecher, this zecher, that. We wouldn't make such a big deal of zecher l'hazah or zecher l'dam pesach damila. But once we're doing karpas anyway, then you gotta make it fit. And that's the way we're gonna do it. So that's what comes out. And that's what comes out. Saif Davar, what comes out of all this is an interesting thing when it comes to karpas, which is that the ikar motivation is just to get the kids to notice. But once we're getting the kids to notice with karpas, we want to make it part of the Seder, we want to have it the psakiyam and tzipitzis mitzrayim in such a way. Okay, that's the nigla, that's the halacha. But now, once we're going to be introduced now to the pnimius of it, we'll see that it's mamish, it's hainuhach. Hainuach, the questioning of the children is itself a chelik of Sipri Tzias Mitzrayim, and Memela, the halacha, is just reflective of the Pinimistika truth. You'll see what I mean. Okay, so Marmoka number 13 is a piece from the Shaar Kavanis. Over here, the Shaar Kavanis in Drush Vav, in the Kavanis of Pesach, the Ari HaKadosh is talking about the site of Karpas. Now, the site of Karpas, to give a little bit of a hakdama, we know that b'chla, whenever a person is doing a mitzvah, all of this Hashem is about building an infrastructure of the neshama. You're starting from ground zero, and you're building yourself. You're building the kelim of your neshama to experience halakus. That's every mitzvah. Every avodah is like that, and especially on the yontif, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach. You're building your neshama up from mamish in order for the whole year. Just like Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah for the year, so Pesach is also Rosh Hashanah for the year to a certain degree. Different ways however you define a year. And so the avoid of Pesach night is mamish, the whole year depends on it. You're building up your neshama. Now, b'derech klal, without going into the pratim, I'm not explaining this too much, but when it comes to the basic building blocks for a neshama to experience elikos, there's basically two madrigas that things are built on. There's what's called katnus and godless. Katnus and godless. So you first start off as zeros. Mamish is not even a katn. Mamish uber b'me'imai. Okay. But then you want to begin to build your kach senefesh, or your madregas. So what are the madregas? So the first madrega your person's zeichet to is katnus. And then you're zeichet to godless. And the truth is, in the Svar Makdash and the Kisferu, we find that there's such a thing that's called godless rishon, and there's godless sheni, there's even godless shlishi. And each madrega has its katnus and godless. So if you want to break it down, be more complicated, there's katnus rishon, godless rishon. There's katnus sheni, godless sheni. There's katnus shlishi, godless shlishi. Three tiers. And usually that's the order. That's the order by Shabbos, by all of it. Comes Pesach night, the Chiddush Nifla, says the Ari HaKadosh, the Chiddush of Pesach night is that we were stuck in Memtei Shaarei Tumah, as we know. And in order for us to get out of it, the Rabbanu Shalom had to give us all the madregas, mamash v'bas achas. So it usually is a methodical process of katnas rishon to godless rishon, katnas sheni to godless sheni, to katnas shlishi to godless shlishi. Comes Pesach night, we got all the way to godless sheni in one second. That's why the Rizal says that's the site of saying halal Pesach night. But Nusach Svar say halal Pesach night, because usually you say halal by a yontif by the day, because to say halal means you're holding by a state of godless. And usually on a yontif, when you get to godless, by the daytime, not by the night. You go into yontif, it's not immediately godless. Pesach night, it's immediately godless. Godless sheni. It happens to be Gadol Shlishi, we're only Zaycha on Shavuos. Okay, but Al Kaponim, Gadol Sheni, it's a big deal. That's Chiddush number one. But comes the Rizal with an even deeper and unbelievable Chiddush, which is that even the way that Arizal puts it, okay, I'll say the language of the Arizal, and then we'll see in Chassidus how the Seich of a Seich is brought out. But the Arizal says like this, since this is all happening Kerega, Mamish in 1 second, so the Rabbanu Shalom also decided that the order of it is going to be reversed. The order of it, again, usually is katnus before godless. Comes the Arizal and says, we're afraid of initially giving, even if in 1 second from now you're going to be zechet to godless, but that initial second of having katnus, we're afraid. So what the order of events, therefore says the Ari HaKadosh, is the first thing you get is godless. Godless Rishon, you get right away. Katnus Sheni and godless Sheni, you immediately get. And then katnus Rishon, you get after. So the Pesach night, even though the whole thing is Seder, it's Be'etzim, it's Shloikis Seder. The Seder of Pesach night is El the Madregis Berega Achas, and even within Rega Achas, first you're getting godless, and then you're getting Katnas. Said the Arizal, that's the Seder of Karpas. By Kaddish, without breaking down too much in the Kavanis and the order of things, by Kaddish, a person's already Zaycha to godless. That's already godless. And the rest of the Seder is a little bit sort of unpackaging what Kaddish was to a certain degree. So once you, Kaddish was already godless. So what's Karpas then? Kedesh Yishla Tenekes, in order to awaken the child. Said Ari HaKadosh, the side of Yishla Tenekes, it's not just to get, the Pasha is just to get them involved. No. But there's what we're doing on the outside is a reflection of what's going on in the Neshama. What's going on in the Neshama by Karpas is a Hisairus of Katnus. There's an awakening of Katnus. And that's part of the Seder. Part of the process of Pesach night is to be Zaycha to all the Madregas that Pesach offers. One of those Madregas is Katnus. It happens to be the Chiddush of Pesach is that Katnus comes after Godless. So the inyan of making the children ask, that's a fundamental component in the process of the Seder itself. The asking of the children a question without being given a direct answer means, so what are you doing? You're being ma'ayur katnas, and that's not a tangential point. That's not an agav de ke'inyan in order to get people to focus on the Seder. That's the avoida. The avoida is to be zaycha to katnas at that moment. So the way we manifest that physically, the way the avoida in chitzonius to reflect that is getting the kids to be interested. But once we see, once we realize that in Pnimius, the awakening of the child is part of the avoid of the Seder of Seder night. Just the chiddush of it is, it's in the reverse order than usual. Usually it will be katnus first and then godless. But now it's godless and then katnus. But the avoid of being ma'ira katnus is part of the infrastructure. It's part of the process. And so in Pnimius, the awakening of the child is itself part of the process of the avoid of the night. It's part of the process of the Seder. It's part of the process of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim. So just as that's true in Pnimius, so Halach reflects that as well. Rashi says, you're trying to get the kid to pay attention. You're trying to get him to ask a question. But once he's asking a question, make sure that it's within the context of the Seder. Well, who cares? The answer is because it's not just like we want it to be seamless, we want it to be nice, to organize. No, because that's what's going on in Pnimius. The awakening of the child in Pnimius is part of the process. It's not a secondary outside point. That's part of the avoida tonight. Just like there's an avoida of godless, of being zaycha to godless, there's an avoida of being zaycha to godless after godless. And that itself is not a tangential point. That's the ikar avoida of this part of the Seder. So therefore, halacha reflects that in recognizing the questioning of the Kadin as being something that's in the context of Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim, not outside of it, because that's what's going on in Pnimius as well. Take a look at Marmokah number 13. The Arizal says like this, V'zeh soid mash omr chazal binin karpas. This is the site of karpas. Shmevi'in oisai, that we bring it, kadei sheyishalu hatinokis, that the kids should ask. V'yoymru, and they should say, adayin lo yinchalnu lechem, we didn't eat bread yet. V'anu oich lamati yirokis, betchila sasuda. The side of Inyan Hu, what's the side? Ki atinoikis remez l'zman hakadnos aleph. The children asking is a remez, it's an external expression of the awakening and being zaycha to this madrega that's called katnos rishon. V'lochin hein atzim tmeyim, and that's their question. Heich nichnos hakadnos aleph, shi achilas karpash loike sidron, achashak bar nichnos u godless aleph. And so the question of the ketanim is itself pointing to what's happening right now. And what's happening right now is essential to the Seder. So the questioning of the ketanim is itself a major component in the Seder. So therefore halacha recognizes that and therefore is forced to put karpas as part of the structure of the Seder in Nigla. So just in Nister, karpas is in this, the questioning of the child through karpas is in Nister is an essential component to the Seder. So therefore Nigla also has to recognize the questioning of the child through karpas as an essential component of the Seder, and that's exactly the shita of Rashi. That's what we find. Now, what is this inyan b'chlal of the children of katnus being after godless? What does it mean? B'chlal, what does that mean? What does it mean? How a person zeichet to moichin to godless, and then after that you're zeichet to katnus, so you read them. So what does it mean b'chlal? So in the pashut Kabbalah svar and the Kisveri and so on. We don't find much of a hezbollah, like das is, das, that's the metzias, whatever this means. Chassidus comes in and explains. in Chassidus, we're taught the following idea, and this, perhaps, maybe if we just for a few more minutes, maybe we'll then be able to appreciate why the way Chazal put karpas into the structure is specifically through a remez to the dam around the doorpost. It says in we say in the Haggadah that Pesach Zivu Shana Oech Mashal Ma Al Shum Shapasach HaKadosh Baruch Obatei Avesin Mitzrayim is Betenu Hitzel and so on. So regarding Makas Bechoris, which is what the current Pesach, the Dam of them, it was about Makas Bechoris. So it says in Haggadah also that by Makas Bechoris it was a Gili of what? Of who did Makas Bechoris? The Chazal say Malach HaMavis, whatever it is. But the Haggadah says Ani, right? Ani Aver B'toch Mitzrayim, right? Ani v'loy v'loy malach v'loy ashliach. Anihu v'loy acher. Anihu v'loy acher. In Chassidus, we're taught that the side of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is captured specifically by that moment of Makas Bechayres, was a giloy. What Chassidus calls a giloy of atzmias habayri. See, when it comes to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, our relationship with God, just like the sun, usually it's the light of the sun, right? But on very, very rare occasions, and really the sight of Nishmas Yisrael's sensitivity, telekus, is sometimes there's a giloy of not the light of Hashem, but Hashem himself, kaviyachol. That's the deepest, deepest sight of all. You know, in Chassidus, you know, there's Lashanis and Chassidus that we have, there's something that's called Hashem's light, that's called an Arpanim, an inner light. It fits into your kalem. Then there's called an Armakiv, a surrounding light, it's bigger than your kalem. But then even above that, it's called Atzmi, so it's the essence of God himself. It's famous from Baal Tani, he used to say, right, in a state of dvekus, he used to call out, he said, Rabbanu Shalom, I don't want your Olam Hazeh, I don't want your Olam Haba, I don't want your Gan Eden, I just want you. Atzmias. Now that Madreg of Atzmias is this ultimate side of what Yetzias Mitzrayim was. When the Rabbanu Shalom says, B'ni B'char Yisrael, that's the opening line of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The side of that statement of B'ni B'char Yisrael is saying, just like the Tanya says in the beginning of Sefer Tanya, the relationship of a child to a father is not one, it's not a Rebbe Talmud. A Rebbe Talmud relationship is based on light. It's based on information. Once you stop learning from the Rebbe, then he's basically not your Rebbe anymore. Let's you surpass him. The relationship is one of art. It's not a relationship of etzem. But a child to a father is a relationship of etzem. That's why it's not shaykh to break. It's not, you know, you can get in bad moods with each other, but you can't become my son or my father. It doesn't work like that. It's a relationship of etzem. The Rabbanu Shalom says, as a haktama to Yetzias Mitzrayim, is B'nai B'char Yisrael. The side of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just a giloy of unbelievable godless. See, this is where Chassidus comes and deepens or brings out the soid shebesoid of the Kisveri. If you learn the Kisveri, then what is Pesach about? Being zoichet to godless. Just the highest level of godless, God the Sheni, by Shuas, God the Shlishi, just as like this strange dynamic that it had to come all at once. And strangely enough, it happens also backwards. You get katnus after godless. In Chassidus, Chassidus comes and explains one second. No, the explanation of all that is because the madriga that you're, what's really happening is not just being given godless. What's really being given, what's really being revealed is Atzmias HaBayrei, the Etzem relationship of B'nai B'char Yisrael. In that context, to appreciate that context, so the Rabbanu Shalom gives us Moichin, and the Rabbanu Shalom gives us Godless in order to have the ability to appreciate what that Etzem means. Because just like children might not necessarily appreciate what it means to have a parent until they get older, and they kachap what it means to have a parent. But their understanding of parent-child relationship is just giving context to that relationship and giving them the ability to appreciate it, but it's not the essence of the relationship. All the madrigas of godless that the Rabbanu Shalom gives us on Pesach, and Chassidus is taught, is not for those madrigas. It's to give us the ability to appreciate the etzem relationship, which is being revealed on Pesach, which is ani hu v'le'acher. Therefore, since the ultimate relationship that's given to us or that's revealed is a relationship of etzem, you see, part of whenever you're dealing with a relationship of etzem, there's nothing that the recipient can do to motivate it. As a Talmud, you could inspire or motivate or hakachainik your Rebbe in order to get more light. But there's nothing a child can do to motivate a parent to create him. It doesn't work like that. It's etzem. It is what it is. So this is where, in Chassidus it's taught, this is why Yetzias Mitzrayim had to come from above, right? Everyone knows that Pesach is like, Yisrusa del Eilu, it's just the Rabbanu Shem wasn't from our motive, we didn't earn it. So in Pashav Shad, why that's a chesaron. It's like, we weren't holding by the Madrega of earning Yetzias Mitzrayim. But in Chassidus it's taught, that's Bashkach HaPratis. It's Bashkach HaPratis, because there's nothing you can do to earn Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you earned Yetzias Mitzrayim, then what would the relationship be? Just godless. But if the relationship is a relationship of it's a gilui of etzem of aniyuv le'acher, then fundamentally it cannot be motivated from below. There's nothing the below can motivate. It's just mitzias. So what can we do? So the site of our avodah by Pesach is just to build kalim to allow the etzem to be revealed. That's all we can do. The site of what's going on when they put the. You know, the dam on the mashkev, dam bris, dam pesach. What was that? That was our mitzvahs, our avoda, in order to be zeichet to Yetzias Mitzrayim. But I thought Yetzias Mitzrayim is from above, not below. The answer is, you're right. Those mitzvahs were not able to be zeichet. They weren't ma'or Yetzias Mitzrayim. But those were the acts of kalim in order to allow us to be given or to be part of that mitzias that's called ani hu v'le'acher. This is the site of what it means, katnus after godless. Katnus after godless is not a yerida. In terms of meichin and hasagis and madregis, a Rebbe Talmud, so once you're a gadol, we don't want to go become a katan again. But if the tachlis is, if the inyan of a year is not madregis, the inyan is to see yourself as b'ni b'char Yisrael, as an extension of the etzem ha'av, then fakir, sometimes your madrigas get in the way. So you need the madrigas to appreciate who you are, but to really capture the mitzias of the relationship, you sometimes have to return to just being a kid and to say Abba, or to say Tati, or Daddy, without all the cheshbonos. And so the inyan of katnus after godless is an inyan of building, of giving yourself the kalim to just allow the mitzias of anihu v'layachar to enter into your life. Take a look at Marmoka number 14, the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, will explain it for us. He says as follows. He's talking about an avoda that allows a person to be given anihu v'le'acher. What's the avoda? Because again, there's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to motivate it. But there's something you can do to allow yourself to receive it. And what is that? So said the Mittler Rebbe, bitul b'metzias mikol v'chol, l'mal mitam v'das. To serve the Rabbanu Shalom with absolute pashtus and tamimus, without any self-interest at all, just because with bittul b'metzias, v'u kli muchan la'ashrois ein soif shugam kimamal mitam v'das. Only such an avoda, which is an absolute bittul, mamish like a katan shebektanim, such an avoda is a kli for anihu v'layacher. V'zeh ha'yigam kin v'tzias Mitzrayim, and that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim was. Kiku mifkiru atzma, they were mafkir themselves. 600,000 people that just, you know, that just went after Moshe Rabbeinu like this. The Mishanim Shechu Achar Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a mistake, Kibben Acharav. They went after the Rabbanu Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu, like a son goes after a father, without any cheshbonos. V'zeh ha'bitul ha'yachona la'ashroyas gilui orin tzayif, shogam kem b'chinis atzmusay, l'mal me'atam. And that exactly is the klikibul in order to allow yourself to be given the relationship of atzmius. Av shu makim gevoya she'enis rusul datam megila sham. Even though atzmusay kiviyachol is a madrega that cannot be motivated from below, ach ma machmas bittel hanal, but through the avoid of bittel, shahayil lehem, nasav is a kli, then, but at the very least, you have to make a kli for it, umachoin lashroes are in Seif Begila. This is the side in Chassidus, this is what it means when it's katnus after godless. Katnus after godless is not a yerida. It's fakert, you're going to a higher madrega. Godless is amazing, but in godless, you're still a talmud of your Rebbe. But the katnus after, that allows you to then receive the deepest madrega, which is being the Rabban Shalom's son, not just the Rabban Shalom's Talmud.
This is not the same katnus, exactly.
It's not the same katnus as it is usually before godless. It's a whole different bechina. It's a katnus that's a kli kibul for atzmusai. And this moment what was the moment of Yitzis Mitzrayim that was the Jewish people's embrace of the avoida of katnus after godless, that was putting the dam on the mezuzah and the shtei hamashkeif in order to allow themselves to receive anihu v'layacher. And so let's put it all together. What's the site of karpas? Sederi HaKadosh, katnus after godless. What does Chassidus say? What does katnus after godless mean? It means making yourself a kli, which is mamish with an avoida of absolute bittel, in order to experience, in order to be zaycha to beyond madregas of godless, but to be zaycha to atzmias. And when in the process of Yitzis Mitzrayim did the Jewish people do this in full, in its most extreme, most obvious way? That was with the Avoida of Dam Pesach and Dam Mila, in order to be Zaychati to Makis Bechairis, which was B'ni Bechair Yisrael, Anihu V'layachar. Memela, Avoida of Karpas, which is in order to bring out Katnus after Godless, Chazal instituted as part of the Seder as a remez to the Shtei Hazois and the Dam Pesach Dam Mila, because that's Mamash Dini. So it's not just like an Agav de Gazach. Again, this is where you see that a nigla, it's like an Agav de Gazach. Really, the motivation is we want to keep the kids awake. No, once we're doing that, that's chaval to interrupt the Seder like that. So let's make Karpas part of the Seder. How are we going to do that? So all the Chacham got together and they figured, you know what? Fine. Dip it into Charesis. Memeil, it'll be two tefillas. Shtei Hazois, Dam Pesach, Dam Mila. It's not the Agav. It's not a Mikra. In Pnimius, it's Mamish Danian. It's Mamish Danian. That's exactly what the site of Katnus after Godless is in order to make the Kli Kibul to receive Atzmius, which parallels the Avoida of the Hazois of Dan Pesach and Dan Mila on the bottom of Klal Yisrael by Makis Becharis, which is the moment of Anihu V'Liyachar V'ni Becharis Yisrael. So it's Mamish the same minion as Katnus after Godless. But again, it's only in the lens of Chassidus that brings out from the Kisvi Ari the Oymik Sheva Oymik of what Katnus after Godless means. And because of that, we can understand what Karpas is. Okay? Vishbizachet to become Gedailim and Ketanim after Gedailim and to appreciate who we are as the Bonim and the Becharim of the Rabban Shalom. Yeah, Shukayach.